Yeah, well, we had him on the Big Sports Breakfast last week, Stewie Clark. He's been doing grandstand all weekend. Morning, Stewie.
Morning, boys. How are we?
Good, mate. I've got to ask you, first off, I drove out to Cowra, as you know, on the weekend, and I was just saying to Berkey, and I said even last week, there's something profoundly Australian about being on a country road, no phone reception, ABC blaring, hearing you blokes, but talk us through the heavy balls. I heard this earlier in the test. You've come on and you've said, look, he bowls quite a heavy ball. I can't remember the exact play you were talking about. And Cipelli just teed off on you and said you're an idiot.
Yeah, Cipelli not a fan of the term heavy ball. He keeps saying it's 156 grams. And, thanks. Pretty hard to argue with Ian Chappell, just because of who he is. And, you know, I grew up in watching World Series cricket, and he's a champion bloke. What we're trying to get at is the ball hits the bat harder. Than, you know, I was talking to him off air, and we were debating it, and he was just telling me what the answer was. So I don't get a lot of credence from Ian. But what it sort of means is, the ball hits the bat, you don't hit the ball sometimes, and it just gets to you a lot quicker, and then you actually think. And even though the speed gun says it's 129, 133, it feels a lot faster than it is. Mm. So that's what we're trying to get at. The commentators and people in the media use it as a way of trying to describe it. I'm going to try and describe it a different way today, just for you, Dave.
Beautiful. No, I liked it. When you started talking about heavy balls earlier on the test match, I thought, Stewie, you've been on the Big Sports Breakfast. You know, we've rubbed off on you a little bit.
Clarky, I know what you're coming from because it's like blokes tackling. You know, like some blokes tackle and then some blokes are like granite, and you don't want to run into those blokes. So I can sort of get, but it's a fantastic terminology. Mate, talk us through the bowlers. How do you reckon our boys went who were, chucking the heavy balls down, so to speak? And here's the next question. Does Mitchell Starc take the new ball, or do you put it on to Pat Cummins now?
Well, look, it was a tough situation. The wicket's pretty flat. There's not a lot in it. They got through the top order, and you know, they did it with some good patient, you know, disciplined bowling. I think the biggest problem, boys, is they got a bit fatigued after their long workload in Sydney. And when the ball got a bit older and the wicket was flat, they couldn't get Thacker out, and they couldn't get Sandur out. The game got away from them a little bit. Mm. At one stage, they were 205 to behind, and we were like going, oh, God, Australia probably post about 150, 160 run lead, and yeah, the next thing you know, we'll, Australia will bat quickly, and then we'll be bowling again, trying to bowl them out. They weren't at their best in the afternoon, but you can't sit there and be, I can't sit there and be too negative, because I think they got worn out. I think they got a bit frustrated, but the other part that everyone seems to be missing is the two blokes that batted, they were outstanding. Washington Sandur, Chatel Thacker, good players, and we didn't know a lot about them, but I think we probably sold them a little bit short, saying they were lower order players. They're a little bit better than that.
Mm. Yeah.
With the way in which the bowlers performed, can we start being critical of Starc?
Well, Stark's in the team for a very specific reason, mate. He's not your bloke. He's not going to bowl top of off stump all day and go, you know, 25 overs, 2 for 45, 2 for 50. That's just not his go. He didn't have his best day, and he looked really down on confidence after Sydney and not bowling so well. I'd have him in my team every day of the week, because I think he offers that variety. He bowls faster than the other blokes, the left armer, but he needs to start getting some wickets sooner or later. That said, I just don't think he's that far away from getting a bag of wickets. It just hasn't gone for him. He's, you know, a couple of nicks going through the sleeps. He ended up getting Rahane out, but it could have been a whole lot better if things had just gone his way. And sometimes when it's not going your way, you can, you know, I suppose people can start criticising you. It happened a couple of years ago. He came back and got Pfeiffer, went on and got a billion wickets in the next couple of test matches, and things just turned around.
Now, criticism for the captain, mate, is that warranted at the moment? Is he under pressure?
Oh, no, not really. I don't think he's under pressure. He sort of spilt a DRS chance. Look, he's had a couple of tough games, Tim Payne, and you know, he's come out openly and said he wasn't at his best in Sydney. He's a bit grumpy, which we don't mind. You know, AB was grumpy too, and we all love him. He's not under pressure. I thought he batted really well in the first innings. His glove work's been okay. I don't think he missed, as I said, he missed that one chance, but a fairly tough one. I just think the Aussies are starting to fatigue. and they're starting to get tired. And the Indians, to their full credit, they're showing a lot of fight and resilience where most, if not all of us, thought they'd sort of just lie down and just get knocked over. So I think we've got to pay a little bit more credit to the Indian cricket setup. And the reality is the IPL and various tournaments around the world are unearthing some of these guys who are going to be superstars.
Is it a case, too, of that we're not maybe as good as we thought, even though we are second in the Test rankings? And I know yesterday I heard on your coverage that even if Australia did lose this Test, they'd still be ranked second and would probably play New Zealand at Lords in that final. But are we not giving as much credit probably to the Indians as we should be?
I think you've got to give the Indians far more credit. They have come out, they've shown a lot of resilience. Where, you know, we're used to, I suppose, Indian teams coming out to Australia and on our surfaces where there's a bit more bounce and pace, especially the Gabba. We were all sitting there going, well, this wicket's going to bounce. It's probably going to seam a little bit. Indians don't traditionally like that. But they've come out and they've showed some real fight and some real ticker, and that hasn't happened at all. They've gone in, got in behind it, batted long periods of time when they've needed to. We probably underestimated them given the resilience they showed in Sydney, a couple of days back. So I think everyone's underestimated the Indians. And what we're also underestimating is the power of, these guys aren't fearful of the Australians in Australia anymore because they play against them. They know all the stars from the IPL. They're not worried about, bounce and pace, and they just get in there and have a red-hot crack. And it's starting to show, and we just can't go around bullying them like we used to in Australia.
What needs to happen, Clarkie, for Australia to get the win and then the trophy?
Well, if Tim Payne's got a bat today for a period of time, how long that is? Well, there's a lot of rain. There's rain forecast, which is the most scary part about it all. But if I was Tim Payne, I'd be trying to get to 330 ahead as soon as possible. They're sort of 50 ahead now, so you'd imagine it's going to take them two sessions and a bit, and then getting the Indians straight in there. And look, you're going to have to take a risk here. If India run down 330 or whatever it is, you'll lose the Test match. But there's no difference between losing and drawing for Australia, other than maybe it might affect that Test ranking thing, which is harder to work out than one of Jamie Rogers' tipping formulas. So
the multi didn't get up too. She's going to bounce back this week. Just before you go, mate, pardon me, I'm just having a bit of a cough. The decks. Are you a bit surprised at the way these pitches have played, especially the last round? I mean, we were expecting Sydney to turn around, around doors and corners. We were expecting maybe a little bit more bounce. Is it just one of those years where we've got quieter decks?
Sydney has been pretty much like that for the last five or six, mate. That's just the sort of wicket you're getting. Brisbane's a bit difficult to really predict what was going to happen. It's the different time of year.
Yeah.
Playing middle to late January in Brisbane has always been a bit different. Usually the first Test match is the Brisbane Test match where, overhead conditions are a little bit different. So he can produce a slightly greener, faster wicket sometimes. It's been an interesting looking at the game. This one is going to crack, and there are big cracks starting to form. The problem with it is the rain, and when you get a bit of moisture around, it tends to hold everything together. So I'm not critical of the wicket. It's just a different time of year, I think, posing everyone a different question.
Before you go, mate, does Cummins take the new ball in Australia's second innings?
I don't think he will. I think he'll go with Stark and Hazelwood.
Okay.
Stark, just that left-handed, getting the ball to swing if he can. If it's going to swing, it's going to happen in the first five or six overs. So if Stark doesn't have it then... his best option is just going across them. So I wouldn't personally. I think he might get it off Hazelwood for an over or two, but I don't think so. I think it's going to be Stark and Hazelwood.
Clarkie, enjoy the day, mate. We look forward to the Aussies having a crack, and we'll talk soon.
See you, boys.